Father God, as we pause for these next few minutes, I pray that you would arrest our attention, God, upon what Paul had to say to the Roman Christians. Father, as we pause this morning, we pause in gratitude and praise to you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, I pray this morning that you would take this message. Father, I pray that you would just let your Holy Spirit move in such a way into our hearts, oh God, that we would ask ourselves the question, am I standing in grace? Am I standing in grace? Father, speak through the truth of your word this day to us. In Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. In the book of Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul, he is writing to a Roman church. It was a church that had been divided. It was somewhat confused because it primarily was made up of Jews. And then through the Emperor Claudius in AD 49, he expelled the Jews. They later came back to the church in Rome. And when they came back, the church was filled with Gentiles, and the Gentiles looked at the law differently than the Jews looked at the law. And so Paul is writing them. One of my most favorite of all books in all the Bible is the book of Romans. And we read these words in Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The Apostle Paul says here that he's standing in grace, which keeps me asking the question this morning, am I standing in grace? I'm inviting you as well to ask yourself individually this question, am I standing in God's grace today? In Romans chapter 5, I want to read verses 1 and 2 from the New Revised Standard Version. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. Notice Paul, he says about this grace that you and I can have if we don't have it. We are justified by faith. There are three things in salvation that as a born-again believer in Christ that we have. We have what is called sanctification. It's just a big word, young people. All it means is being set apart. You and I are set apart once we've received Christ. And that's why the Bible says, come ye out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Let me tell you, if we have received Christ, our lives ought to have something that reflects the light of Christ in our lives. So we're justified. Once we receive Christ, we stand in His justification, just as if we had never sinned. Notice something else He says there. We have peace with God. The world doesn't have any peace this morning. All over the world is gearing up for some things that are going to happen one of these days. But let me tell you, if you know Christ Jesus as your personal Savior, He is the peace in the midst of life's troubled waters and life's troubled storms. Then notice Paul says, thanks to Jesus, He speaks about standing in grace, sharing God's glory. And when you and I listen to Scripture, we realize that God's grace isn't the smooth, the gentle, soothing thing that we often make it. Call someone gracious, if you will, and you probably mean that they have a winning, winsome personality. They're a kind, generous spirit. You like to be around those kind of people. They seem to just light up your life. They warm your heart. But if you are really serious about something that's happening in your life, if you're going to have a serious operation, you're not necessarily looking for a gracious surgeon. You want a surgeon who knows what they're doing, someone that can perform the operation that you need. And when you board an airplane, you're not trusting in the personality of that pilot, but you're trusting in that pilot's ability, that pilot's skills to be able to fly that plane and keep you safe. And when you're faced with some kind of catastrophic event in life, maybe a tornado, maybe an earthquake, maybe a train car accident, you didn't turn to someone with just a great personality, but you turned to the one who can save as many victims as they possibly can in those situations. But when the Bible speaks about grace, it's pointing us to the power that saves us. Not something just to soothe us, but something that will take care of the sin in our life. Jesus was the most gracious person who ever lived upon the face of the earth. And this morning I want to leave you with three thoughts. In your bulletin, you can fill out these three words. First of all, grace found us. Grace found us. You and I did not go looking for grace, but grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, found us. Notice in John chapter 1, verse 17. Young people, you've been to Falls Creek. You've had a great spiritual experience down there. Many of you were saved. Some of you made recommitments of your life. Some of you surrendered to special ministries down the road. Let me tell you, it's because the Holy Spirit of the living God was moving in that encampment. And the Holy Spirit was searching for hearts that would be fertile, that would turn in faith and conviction and repentance to come to a place of conversion. In John chapter 1, verse 17, John said, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Jesus knew how to handle situations in life. It wasn't always sweet. It wasn't always smooth for Jesus. For example, he unsettled those Pharisees, and guess what he called them? He called them hypocrites. He overturned those in the temple that were exchanging money, and they were confiscating and elevating prices in order to pad their own pockets, and they were making his house a den of thieves. Jesus overturned the money changers that day in the temple. He disappointed a rich man one day when he told him to give away everything that he had. Sorrowfully and sadly, that rich man walked away. You see, he bluntly told Peter one day to stop mouthing the devil's words. You see, the law of Moses had power, but more power was when Jesus's grace, when truth came to you and to me through the life of Jesus Christ. This is the grace that Paul is saying to the Roman church in which you and I stand. This is the power believers trust. Here's the spiritual territory where believers choose to live. Here's the hope that Christians, believers embrace. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, another church, in Ephesians chapter 2, at verse 8. He says to the Ephesian congregation, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." So many people all over the world think that they can do something in order to inherit salvation. They think they can do something, whatever it is, it becomes a work salvation with them. And they keep on doing this and doing that until they feel that they are good enough to go to heaven. No, that is not what the Bible says. That's not what Jesus says. Paul said to the Ephesians, "For by grace," that word grace, G, God, R, riches, A, at, C, Christ, E, expense. It was God's riches at Christ's expense that you and I are able to have eternal life, because God sent Jesus into the world, God Himself clothed in human flesh, to die on a rugged cross, to shed His blood to cover the sins of mankind. And Paul says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith." You see, I believe it. I wasn't there 2,000 years ago at a place called Calvary, right outside the city of Jerusalem. I wasn't there. But let me tell you what. Through faith, I believe that. I accept that. I receive that into my heart and life. And Paul said, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." Notice this grace. It is the gift of God. Grace is where you and I stand this morning. And if we walk away from grace, let me tell you, we're lost. The hymn writer said it well, when penning the words, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." You see, today, the gospel is the good news. That's God's grace is searching for you and for me, reaching out to grasp, and can find you no matter where you are, no matter how terrible you think your life may have been. Let me tell you, God's wonderful gift of grace is so amazing. Let me ask you the question this morning. Has the grace of God found you? Has there been a time that the Holy Spirit moved within your heart and awakened you to the fact that you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? I read a story the other day of someone's testimony of how grace found them. I want you to listen to some of what that individual said about God's grace finding him. He said, "The grace of God found me when I was a young boy. I grew up in a home of uneducated, illiterate immigrant parents, living on a street, a poor street, next to the railroad tracks in a town in Pennsylvania. My mother longed to leave her miserable marriage, but she had no way to earn a living other than to clean and iron for people who were better off than she was. My father was an alcoholic, sometimes abusive and often absent from the home. We scavenged for food from a throwaway produce from the grocery store across the alley from our home. I was just 12 years old when Mom died from a brain tumor at age 51. I was 14 when Dad died in an emergency room at a local hospital after being hit by a car when he was probably drunk. I was that lost sheep in the parable of the good shepherd. But God left those 99 and came and found me. The gospel convinced me that I mattered to God and that He had a purpose for my life. He gave me a wonderful wife and an education, and He called me into ministry to His church. Let me tell you, that's a story that I'm sure that many throughout the world could write, a story about how grace found them. You see, many could tell their own story similar to that one. You were lost. You felt alone. You felt empty. You were confused. You were hurting. But God, through the Holy Spirit, reached out and found you, saved you from wandering down the wrong path of life, from the persistent temptations, from spiritual blindness, from some broken heart in your life or some desperation in your soul. As the writer of Amazing Grace would say, once I was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. You see, that's the song of every believer this morning. So if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, know this, God is searching for you. God is seeking for you. The Holy Spirit wants to bring grace into your heart and life. And when you sense the nearness of God close to your heart, when you're convicted of the sin in your life, choose God over that sin. When your heart, when you're hurt, when you're brokenhearted in life, ask God for healing and restoration. And when God seems so far away, and you feel abandoned, and you feel forgotten, you feel forsaken, you feel all alone, pray to God. Keep on praying. Keep on reading His Word. Keep on being faithful to Him. Let me tell you, God knows what you're going through. Listen to what Isaiah, the prophet, said many years ago in the English Standard Version, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 to 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, He increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary. Young people, did you see that? Even young people faint and be weary. And young men shall fall exalted. But notice this next verse. But they who wait on the Lord, notice He didn't say wait on themselves, wait on somebody else. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk, notice, and not faint. It reminded me of an old hymn long, many years ago. Seeking for me, Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came. He laid in a manger to sorrow and shame. Oh, it was wonderful, blessed be His name. Seeking for me, Jesus, my Savior, in mercy and love, came from the mansions of heaven above, tenderly pleading for sinners like me, pleading for me, for me. Or I love that old invitation hymn, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, He's waiting, He's watching, watching for you and me. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not His mercies? Mercies for you and me. So first of all, I didn't find grace. Grace found me. Secondly, this morning, grace not only found us, grace accepts us. The hymn writer said, oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Tony Campolo tells the story that when he was just a young boy, he was at church. They were passing the communion plate. He was sitting behind a young woman. She was sobbing. She was shaking, and the minister had just read the passage out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that says, whosoever shall eat the bread and drink the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. And when they passed the communion plate to her, she waved them on by. She lowered her head, and she began to sob even louder. And it was Tony Campolo's Sicilian father who sternly looked at that woman in broken English. He said, take it, girl. It was meant for you. Do you hear me? Let me tell you, grace finds us. The Holy Spirit is moving this morning all over the world. The Holy Spirit is moving all over the world. I stood at a graveside that I did just this past week. And in that service, a granddaughter who grew up in this church, who is now a music teacher in Edmond, and she teaches private voice lessons and working on her master's degree in music. And she sang Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a poor wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is hovering over this earth. The Holy Spirit knows that today, before this day passes, 150 plus thousand souls all over the world, every single day, 365 days out of the year, will go to either heaven or to hell. As I mentioned that at that graveside service the other day, I never stand there that I don't think three of them this past week, that I thought to myself, 150,000 people are going somewhere today. They're either going into the presence of Jesus, are they going far away? Oh, this wonderful gift of grace that finds us, this grace that accepts us. Aren't you grateful the day the Holy Spirit whispered in your ear, take it, it was meant for you. I want you to know what a peace that you and I can have from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit's moving throughout the world right now, seeking hearts that are empty, that are vacant, that have a longing, and that longing God has placed into the heart of every human individual. The problem is many have turned a deaf ear to the Holy Spirit, and they have rejected and said no, and said no, and said no, and unfortunately many of them will send away their day of grace. This morning early as I was driving to the church, there was a young man, I guess he was traveling, hitchhiking through Duncan. He had a backpack on. He was standing at a red light. My first impression, I wanted to pull over and ask him if he knew Jesus. The light changed. I had to go. But I thought the next best thing I can do is, Lord, I don't know who that young man is. I don't know where he came from this morning. I don't know where he's going. But busy people running to and fro throughout the earth. Lord, how can I help this young man that I won't be able to talk to? And I begin to pray, Holy Spirit of the living God, fall on him if he doesn't know you as his Lord and Savior. Let your grace find him if he's lost. Let your grace accept him. And then third and lastly this morning, let your grace transform his life. There ought to be a transformation. If you've been truly saved, There ought to be a transformation. Grace transforms us. God accepts us just as we are, but he never leaves us just as we are. Billy Graham, for all of those many years all over the world, the invitation hymn was just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. I come, I come. You and I stand in grace, but grace never, never stands still in us. For the Holy Spirit works in us to sanctify, that means to set us apart, to perfect us, to change us. It's a process, it's a journey, it's the ongoing story of the life of the believer in Christ. Listen to what Paul said to the Galatians in chapter 5 in the New Living Translation. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Notice it says the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. And then he goes on and he lists a bunch of things about the results. Of what are the results of the sinful nature? Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness. Someone I was speaking with over the phone last evening, out of town, asked me a question. What do you believe about mediums and astrology and horoscopes and all of these kinds of things? I said, the Old Testament speaks against those things. I said, I think they're of the devil. Remember, the devil has a lot of power. He can use things and make things be told that are so real that they are deceptive. You see, what does the Holy Spirit produce in the life of a Christian? It produces love. It produces joy. It produces peace. It produces patience. I had a doctor say to me this past week, boy, I pray for you. I pray God's blessings upon you for the patience that you have. I could never do your job. And I said, and I pray for you because I could never do your job. There's just something about blood and guts that I can't do. And so I said, I pray for you too, and thank you for the prayers. I need all of them I can get. But love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. You see, if we're controlled by the Spirit, then we'll let the Spirit live through us that way. Notice once again, verses 3 through 5. Chapter 5 in the New Revised Standard Version, as Paul says once again to the Roman Christians. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. I'm grateful this morning. Grace finds us, grace accepts us, and grace changes us. It transforms us. This is the grace in which we as believers stand. Are you there yet? If not, would you open your heart to the gospel so that the Holy Spirit will find you justified by faith, peace with God, thanks to Jesus, standing in grace, sharing God's glory. Let me ask you a question. Are you standing in grace? Is it well with your soul? Would you stand as we pray together? Father God, as we pause today, thank you for grace. Thank you for your riches, God's riches. Christ's expense. Thank you that it's a free gift. We can't work for it. We can't buy it. You take us as we are, where we are, what we are. Through the process of being sanctified, oh God, you transform our lives, you change us, you conform us to be more like the image of Christ. Father, thank you for the wonderful gift of grace. When many people are turning away from faith, when many people are falling away, oh God, what do they hope in? Oh God, our hope is in the living hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, if there's someone here this morning in the sanctuary that needs to come give their heart to you, may they reach out to, through faith and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior, and you're the Savior who died, who poured out your blood to cover my sins, and you rose victoriously to give me life everlasting. Lord, I surrender my all to you. Come into my heart this day. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a promise. Father, if there are those that need to just come and pray right now during the quietness of these moments, may they just make their way to the altar to pray for whatever need it may be. With our eyes closed, our heads bowed, no one looking about, if you need to make a decision for Jesus, if you need to come and join this church, would you just step out of the aisle and let the Holy Spirit lead you? If you're out there listening by YouTube today and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, I urge you to trust in Jesus before it's eternally too late. None of us know who the 150 plus thousand will be that will wind up in one of two places this day. So God, may we be ready. May our soul be well with you. For it's in your name we pray.